biggest
podcast, hockey podcast
in the country. Start.
No podcast, biggest podcast.
Starts now.
A view from the bridge. This is A View from the Bridge, official podcast of the Belfast Giants for kingdomofthegiants.com. Today's the 18th of February, 2020. My name is Patrick Smith. We've had 2 weeks off, but the Belfast Giants come back, retaining the form they've had for the previous 6 months. A 50-50 weekend for your Belfast Giants, but a lot to talk about, not just about what took place on the ice in these two games, but what took place a week ago today in the Garside Testimonial. We'll be hearing from Adam Keefe, Lewis Hook, Mark Garside, Kieran Long and TFA with Elgin Pearce. We'll be talking about the Garside Testimonial, those games against the Storm and the Panthers. Sis has been down to training, chatting to Mr. Keefe, Mr. Long and Mr. Hook. We may mention a certain Stephen Nolan. We have TFAs around the league and we'll look ahead to the games against Guildford, Manchester and Sheffield as the Belfast Giants go on the road. First up, hello Mr. McGimsey. You had a good trip back last week as well?
Yes, it seems like long ago now, but over for Gary's testimonial, it was great to have a little bit of involvement. It was great to see some of the old faces back on the bench and on the ice, and seeing Sis doing a bit of one-handed dangling too, which was a sight to behold.
Don't do that. We're going to come to all of that. And also join us, Mr. Kitchen, who put up with me on co-coms. I mean, put up with me on co-coms on Saturday night. And then give me a lift home. How are you doing, mate?
I'm dead on, mate. Really enjoyed. Always enjoy you guys both as commentators alongside me. So it was all good. And then obviously, I'd say, that'd be lift home on early hours of Sunday morning when you're having a few local beverages as well. So, yeah, all good.
First time in the Ulster Sports Club. It was all right.
It's decent. Like, it's changed a hell of a lot since it used to be the Ulster Sports Club, if you know what I mean, without pissing on the seats and what have you. But it's a wee bit upper class now.
Yeah, it seems to be a younger crowd than me, but sure, I put up with it. Anyway, let's have a look, first of all, before we talk about the weekend's games for the Belfast Giants, let's have a little matter of what took place last Monday and Tuesday night with regards to Mark Garside's testimonial. On Monday night, there was the event at the Empire with the draft and all that took place on that. And, Mr. Joel Neal got the opinions of a few people who were there enjoying the night.
Okay, what's your name? How long have you been a Belfast Giants fan for?
My name is Andrea Owens, and I think it's been around 13 or 14 years. I can't actually remember.
And in your opinion, what does Mark Garside mean to the city, to the club? What does Mark Garside mean to you?
Okay, funny story. 10 years ago, March, my birthday, my 30th birthday, we went to see a young Scottish kid play a gig in Murrayfield. And at playoffs that year, we started a rumour that Scottish kid was going to play for the Giants. Boom! We are responsible for bringing Mark Garside to Belfast. And then my husband, he said that he probably wouldn't make anything of himself. And now he's probably up there with one of his favourite Giants players of all time.
I can't believe you found a way to throw Michael under the bus.
Yes!
My name's Colin. I've been a Belfast Giants fan for the entirety of the club. Personally, as a fellow Scotsman, Mark Garside means a lot to me. It was the same with Sheds. The fact that he's been here for so long, and it's someone that I'm obviously not from here, but someone who's Scottish, it just brings me so much pride every time I get to see that number 7 shirt come out on the ice. As a Belfast Giant, what else can you say is, how many players in the club's history or in the ice hockey history can you say transfer from being a forward to a defenseman so easily? He is the Rolls Royce of the Belfast Giants.
My name is Roisin. I've been a Giants fan for probably 7-8 years now.
And In your opinion, what does Mark Garside mean to the city, to the club, and to you?
Unsung hero. Doesn't get enough credit.
My name's Ryan Hitchman. I've been a fan for maybe a year and a half or so. Mark Garside is honestly a very much so a household name. Really good two-way defense man. Played both ways in this last season or so. Honestly, means so much to the team. I don't quite appreciate it. I've not been here long enough to appreciate it. But I can appreciate the sort of the heritage that he has.
Noah Gillespie, round about 12 years-ish, something like that. Just consistency every night. As soon as we signed him from day one, third line, defense, whatever he's needed, he's been there for us. He's swing guy now. Defense is fine. He can now go forward, get the skates going up front as well. He's done that this year. Just real major part of the Giants over the years. Won a lot of trophies with us. Brilliant part to have. Back every year. Sign him every year.
First of all, give me your names.
Race.
Ellen.
Mark Garside is just Mark Garside. It's as his t-shirt said. He's ice hockey player Mark Garside.
He's a heartbeat of our team.
It's a hot take.
Second.
He's the second heartbeat.
My name's Thomas. I've been a season ticket holder for the past 4 years. Mark Garside should always be your first choice player when it comes to the new roster every single year. He'll play whatever position you want. He will work like an absolute demon every single game. Love Mark Garside.
My name is John, and I think 2009-2010 was my first season.
In your opinion, what does Mark Garside mean to the Belfast Giants? What does he mean to you?
Gary to me would be the center of the most prominent line that the AIHL has ever seen. The line that every team tried to replicate. The line that every team couldn't buy. He's one of those players you don't notice, and as a D-man, that's what you want, right? You want your D-man to be almost anonymous on the ice, and I think that the fact that he's been here for 10 years shows what the coaches and the playing staff and the fans, you know, what he actually means to this city. And I'm sure that, you know, if he wants to, he could play here for another 5-10 years easily. He's just like a Rolls Royce on the ice. I don't think we could probably ever truly displayed gratitude to players like Gary, because he's a selfless player, but he's so important to organisations like ourselves. As a Brit D-man, there's probably not that many out there better than him.
So, Tuesday, Mr. Kitchen, I'll come straight to you. You were on the ice, and as Davey mentioned, you know, you were throwing out a few lessons, and I believe Matt Pelich was taking notes.
I wasn't the only one. Do you know what? I really enjoyed it. It was a great night. Obviously, you know, it's great for Gary as well. Reasonable, you know, good crowd came in, and as Davey's touched on already, some great to see some old faces back and guys that they wouldn't really not recognise now, like Colin Shields, because he's got a new mouth guard and what have you. But the crack was brilliant. It's just, it doesn't matter what dressing room you go into when you're playing hockey. There's always a bit of banter and always a bit of slagging and that's the bit that I really miss about hockey. It was a really good night, as I said. You know, we managed to have a couple of good shifts and didn't fall over this time. Put the passes on the stick, which is always nice as well. But a really brilliant night and so pleased for Gary. And very well deserving as well. You know, 10 years to play for the Belfast Giants, and you know, Davey's got all the stats there. And as obviously he's a bit of a fanboy as well. So really, really enjoyed it, and wish him the best of luck. Hopefully, he's certainly not going to hang the skates up anytime soon, because he even made a move for a penalty shot at the end of it to get the winning goal, and it was very fitting in that situation as well for him to get that winning goal.
David, did you enjoy yourself?
Had a great time. I suppose, first and foremost, as Simon has said there as well, to recognise Mark Garside for his unbelievable service to the Belfast Giants. And if he hadn't had, you know, been, what, three quarters made out of glass, he would probably up at around 600 appearances now for the club. But, you know, he had a career before he even came to Belfast. You know, he had a few hundred games in the AIHL, I suppose, for for Edinburgh. So he must be up in the 700s, I'm sure, overall, the IHL games. So, you know, one of the British players, one of the premium British players that's played the game over here, and obviously that transition back to D, obviously playing a bit more forward last weekend, but, you know, that transition back to D has probably added perhaps a few years on to his career. He scored goals. He was, you know, one third of that famous, you know, Keith Lloyd Garside line that won championships together. And the good news is there might be more music to come. I know it's not everybody's cup of tea, but it's mine. It's the kind of music I like. So, you know, I'm glad to hear that there might be a few more tunes coming as well. But I hope to see him in Teal for a number of years to come yet. But yes, to see firsthand the likes of Stewie and Bosey and Shane Hedfick Johnson and, you know, different guys out there. No, I've already mentioned you in the intro, Simon, but, you know, you weren't on my bench, you know, I had Wally there, and just seeing the guys coming on off and having such a blast, and the Belfast Giants guys being able to relax a little bit as well and throw some skills out. It was just some of the stuff that went on, it was absolutely brilliant. Some of the goaltending was great, some of it wasn't so great, but it was just overall a great night. And then down for the auction, like, Kitchy really could have another career there. He managed to even sell his own shirt, which was like jaw-droppingly expensive as well. So, you know, all fantastic, because it's all going to Mark Garside. There are a couple of shirts left out there. Get in touch if you want to take home a nice little bit of memorabilia. There's no replicas available. These are all game issued or game worn jerseys. So it's a little slice of Belfast Giants history available still there.
How much did your shirt go for then, Sis?
I think it was 185.
It's not bad.
To be honest, Paddy, let's not cut the chase here. It was bought by the only fella in Belfast that would fit. it's Kitchy's stunt double, and very, very nice fella, and there was his down signing it and stands posing for selfies and all. So, but absolutely great. Some of the money spent in the auction, a couple of shirts over 500 quid, I will not say they got carried away, but the bidding certainly was fast and furious, and Simon was more than easy, you know, more than happy to get that money out of their pockets. So I think was it Rainers and
Rainers Spiro both went for like £510. Wow. So, but that's brilliant. You know, it really was a great effort. But again, the Belfast Giants fan goes to show how much respect Gary and putting their hands in his pockets, and David's already touched on the jerseys that are available. You know, they're one offs, and there's no replicas, mud off in this day and age with game worn shirts. And you know, sometimes it can be a wee bit inundated. But the Paddy, I know you didn't see it, but David, tell him about the musical chairs on Bobby Farnham.
Oh, mate, I was on the... Who was sitting beside Bobby Farnham? It might have been Wally. I can't even remember who was doing musical chairs. But they put four blow-up musical chairs. They had... Mo was one of them.
Hoogie, Longer...
Was it Toei?
Matt Toei won it.
And somebody else started.
A couple of hours, yeah. Can't remember
the order. There was only five to start. Five and four chairs, I think it was the start. And they were skating around the centre circle, Paddy, playing a bit of music. And then obviously dive in the last one standing. You know, whoever's still standing with no seat, you're right. And they were taking it very serious. And the first time the music went off, like, it was just like five bodies just diving in on the chairs. And it was like, boom, this explosion of limbs. And it was like Bobby Farnham sitting there, and he's just like, fuck, no. But he's like, David, get them to spread the church. Get this stop. Get this is stupid. We have a game like this weekend. Get this stop. But it was like no quarter asked and none given. Like, these guys were
competitors, Smith. Competitors.
Yeah, maybe it wasn't the greatest.
That's exactly right. But Paddy, you're 100% right. It was, and I was, he was, as Davey says, he was on the bench. I was sitting beside Kiefer, and as soon as the first collision happened, and it is recorded, but just haven't had a chance to do a highlight package of it yet, so it definitely is recorded. But as soon as it happened, Kiefer turned around to me and gave me the weirdest look, and I just went, whoa, hold on, I'm only the one with the microphone. It wasn't me that organised this. But it was absolutely, I mean, how nobody get hurt in that first collision, I have absolutely no idea.
I think Joel put it out on AVF TV. He might have recorded that little bit live, but like absolutely crazy darts, but whoever decided to have it. But I think a wee shout out to Simon. You'll know all the names of the little committee there. Andrea,
Ryan, Michael, Susan, and I think Nicola was involved as well at that point. So yeah.
The ones behind the scenes that make it all work and help Gary out, you know, to just with all the little things that take pressure off someone doing that testimonial, because at the end of the day, Gary's trying to do a job at the same time. So I know he mentioned them in public himself on Twitter and Facebook and stuff, but a little shout out to those guys, because those testimonial committees really are absolutely crucial to these guys being able to get a little bit of cash, which is what it's all about. You know, they've worked very hard for this club. There's no millionaires leave Belfast, you know. That's not the career that it is if you're like perhaps in the top leagues in North America. So they're doing a lot of it here for the love of the game, and these guys that come and spend maybe 10 years here and get a testimonial, you know, it's very well deserved, and everything that comes their way is very, very well earned. So congratulations to Gary. It was great to be a little tiny part of it.
Well, let's hear from the man himself.
Quite some time playing for the Giants for 10 years. It's been an absolute privilege and a pleasure playing in front of such great fans. Thank you so much for coming down and supporting me tonight. I'm truly grateful. Thank you so much. I've had a few people who have worked so hard for me all year, selling merchandise and organising things, and they've been the biggest help ever. I could not have done it without them. Andre Owens, Susan, Ryan, and Michael, my volunteers. Thank you so much. Lastly, the biggest thank you goes to my beautiful wife Becky. She's had to put up with me all these months here, stressing out. And the best wife I can ask for. Thank you so much. Love you. Thank you so much, everyone.
Joined after the game by the one and only Mark Garside. Gary, a lot of work goes into a night like tonight. How do you feel now that the kind of pressure's off and you can enjoy the rest of the evening?
Absolutely great. That's one way of putting it. No, it was obviously a lot of work leading up this month especially, but you know, I had a lot of help from my volunteers and Laura Small as well, and you know, lots of other people around as well helped out as well, so I'm very thankful to them, and they definitely took a lot of weight off the shoulders, but it's great to get it the night done.
And I guess it feels like a wedding in many regards. You know, everybody from all your different walks of life coming together at the one time. You've been building up to it for months. Is it a surreal feeling to actually be here on the night? How did it feel kind of skating out there?
It was great skating out there, because really right up until I got on the warm-up, I was buzzing around doing, you know, sorting tickets out and signing stuff and doing things. So, but you know, the game went really well. The boys had a good laugh with it as well. And no, it was like I'm so grateful for everybody that came down and for everybody's help as well. It's been absolutely fantastic.
And obviously the draft and gig last night at the Empire, another fantastic night was had. Have you played the Empire before? Was that a bucket lister you managed to tick off there as well? No,
I hadn't played it before. It was definitely, I've been to a couple of gigs in there. Actually, the drummer in our band, he used to play in a band, and he went and played in there, and I remember watching it going, this place is really good, you know, good acoustics and all that. And so no, I went and spoke to a few people. The guy at Newbridge who sponsored the evening, and he was like, yeah, the Empire's great, you got to go in there. So I was like, I'm of that opinion too, let's do that.
Yeah, you look pretty natural on that stage, you fit it quite well. You're obviously nowhere near finished. I'm not even going to talk about the R word, but whenever you look back on your 10 years in Belfast, what are the highlights? What are the things that you'll look back on and remember most fondly?
I was going to tell Kiefer of retiring tomorrow.
Don't panic, folks.
Yeah. Ruined the joke. No, obviously, I mean, I always say the first league win and that home game against Sheffield was such a magical game, a magical feeling winning it in front of the home crowd, you know, a sold out ball. Obviously, winning the league a second time was such a sort of, I don't want to say cruise control, it was a bit disrespectful, but we were so good all year and the guys were hot all year, and it was a great feeling at the end of that. And then obviously last season at the very end when we were at the awards night and we're all sitting there tensely, like it's 2-1 up to the last minute and Laker goes on, scores an empty net. We hear it from the other room going, woo, and that was it. Ecstasy after that was brilliant. So, yeah, Challenge Cup wins too, they were special, especially the second one, because I had to sit and watch the first one because I'd been injured for a long time.
And so playing in that and actually being on for the final goal and so scores and giving him the big hug, that was a good feeling.
A lot of iconic moments. And obviously, there are plenty of years left in Mark Gar's side. There's no sign of retirement yet on the next season.
Oh, I did hear you shouting at the gig last night, 10 more years. That may be a little
That's
bit ambitious.
A conservative estimate, yeah. 10 more years.
That may be a little ambitious, but I want to keep playing as long as I can, you know. And years gone by, especially, you know, 2 years ago, I had that long injury, I was out for 10 months. Yeah. I didn't really know if I was going to play that long, but this season I felt absolutely great. It's the best I've felt in years. So I'm going to keep going as long as I can, hopefully.
It's great to hear. Listen, congratulations, Gary. Well deserved tonight. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Yep, congratulations to Gary. I thought a great event and very well deserved. Right, let's get back to the action in regards to the Belfast Giants. Two games this past weekend, at home to the Manchester Storm and away to the Nottingham Panthers. Let's start with that game against the Storm on Saturday night. A 3-2 victory for your Belfast Giants, back in action after 2 weeks off. Giants goals come for Smotherman, Kieran Long against his former side, and Ward on the power play. Two goals for the Storm, both came from Simmons. In goals, Shane Owen, 28 saves against Matt Ginn, 38 saves against your refs were Smith and Alleyward. That's a new one. I'll start with you, Davey. A very tight game. We knew, you know what you get with the Storm. They're obviously fighting for their playoff lives in a bit of a three-way battle with the Clan and the Dundee Stars. So between that game and, of course, the game coming this weekend, we expect a tough battle against the Storm. That's what we got.
This game, for me, was kind of like a microcosm of the Belfast Giants season. There was about half the game I liked, and there's about half the game that I didn't like so much. I think all three goals were a little similar, and that with deflections and tip-ins, you know, going for that outside shot inside and getting somebody in front, which was good to see. You know, that's what we've been crying out for, a bit of traffic in front, or people at least crashing that towards that blue paint and getting deflections. I think that Shane Owen had probably two, three real crucial moments in the game. Penalty shot. He comes up with a big save towards the end of the game. And there's definitely one other big save that I remember. That, you know, those are crucial turning points in the game. You know, it had a little bit of spark. You know, obviously you ran Liney, which we'll come on to, dropping the gloves and having a little bit of a conversation, the moment. I don't know if you have that, Paddy. Have you got a little?
This is where I'm going to issue an apology to the listeners. Today's been an absolute nightmare with regards to work. I got home, as you boys know, about 3 minutes before we started recording, so I haven't had a chance to cut out either that audio or all the audio from the Stephen Nolan show that I've actually made notes about. So they will be available, and I will have them on the soundboard next week.
Well, obviously the game started with that. I think it was Cody Thompson and getting sparks that, you know, the Odyssey crowd and the action. And Smo playing that give and go, I think it might even been with Elgin Pierce, who we're talking to later in the show, throwing the centre and pass across for Smo to tip in. And, you know, we had that little bit of momentum. Special teams were kind of key as well. Obviously, we've came up with the winner on the power play. But as I say, like, good 20 minutes, bad 20 minutes, good 20 minutes. That was kind of the game for me. I think we grinded it out. Like, it's probably easier for me to throw it back to you. You know, I've watched it on TV. These two guys were there live in person. What do you think yourself?
Well, from my point of view, before you give it the says, is the fact that I think Storm played Storm's game, and we see it both at the Drizzle Dome, and we saw it in Belfast. Of course, Storm always often give a good account of themselves, maybe sometimes take a win away from Belfast, but Storm played such a tight spoiler game with lots of sticks, lots of bodies in the way, and just capitalising on the Giants' mistakes, if they made any, and just with quick transition and getting in on Shane Owen, and that's what we saw. And I'm not going to blame the referees, because, you know, referees didn't have that much of an input, but they did make a couple of calls that sort of had a decent effect on the game, not least the 4 minutes that were thrown out for interference, and I think it was interference on Matt Ginn, and the push that actually came from Grewald. But overall, I agree with you, Davey, that I think that we maybe played 40 minutes of a good game and 20 minutes, 15 minutes of a less than good game, says?
I think it's a fair point. You know, the incident there with the Liam Reddick's, obviously, you know, picking up 2.2. One was for unsportsmanlike conduct, which was because of a bad call. You know, the referees, again, they didn't have a bad game. But when you know, you remember the bad things to do in a game. Yeah. And you, so a lot of people seem to forget the good things to do. You know, I thought they tried to let it go. You know, and good to see a linesman getting out of the way of a goal, like, and getting the, you know, frustration out of the way. But for me, I just thought at no time in the game at all did I feel that we were going to lose it. And that's being 100% honest. Yes, we're struggling at the minute, but you know, I really didn't feel that we were going to lose that game. Even, you know, they scored to get it back to 3-2. Great to see Kieran Long get the goal again. You know, it's important that, you know, that he, you know, tries to build a bit more confidence going down the stretch, because he's had a tough year. Jordan Smotherman picking the goal up, as I say, I think it was 1-13 before Saturday. And again, you know, for him to be our top point scorer and only have one goal in the last 13 games, it just goes to show that how a lack of firepower we're suffering this year. You know, when you look at the likes of last year and you know, score goals for fun, you know, Darcy Murphy, 51, Blair Riley, I think it's 31, 37 from Kyle Bond. You know, those three guys have 120 goals between them. And I don't know what the totals are for the whole, you know, you're probably only talking about now 50% more so far this year from the whole team. So it was disappointing that, you know, we couldn't punish Manchester anymore. Matt Ginn's a good goalie. I mean, he's a really good goalie. And you've got to give a lot of plaudits to their defensemen as well. You know, they don't let them, if there's a rebound comes out front, you know, they seem to be the first guys on the puck to get it away as well. So I actually really enjoyed the end of the webcast. You tend to agree with me, and it was a really good game, but yeah, and important to come out with the 2 points. But as I say, 2-2 over the weekend, which is that's been our downfall us all. And going into coming out with a big win on Saturday night, and going into a Sunday game against Nottingham, team who had played on the Friday night, was always going to be different.
I think one of the things, like the barometer of the game for me, says, especially in that second period, because I joined you in the first period on comms, but as I said, I wanted to spend this, I don't get home that often for games now, and I wanted to spend the second period chatting about the game with my brother, and he was on the bridge on the side where the away fans were, and the barometer of the game for me was the fact that the Storm fans were silent for most of that period in a 1-0 game, and the first that you actually got from them was when Simmons scored, what was that, about 17 minutes into the period, so about 3 minutes left in that second period, and then they started to come alive, because the Giants did control quite a bit of the puck, quite a bit of the game, and probably looked on top for most of it. So that was a real barometer for me. Davey?
Yeah, look, I like us when we play front foot hockey, if you want to call it that. When we play on our toes, I think it's a better team than when we play on our heels. And I think at times we have, and it happened on Sunday against us, and I've used the term a few times on different podcasts about this kind of swarm offense that we'll have, where we get the puck down low, we get a really good cycle going, we get the offensive line changes, we get D-men coming in off the bench to freshen things up, so we're getting full zone changes. And I think when we did that against, certainly the first, there was a shift from Matt Pelich.
In that
first period where we were able to keep the puck, I'm not even sure whether the goal came from that. I can't remember. Or we drew a penalty, perhaps.
We did draw a penalty,
just from sustained pressure in the offensive zone. And when you get that ozone pressure, we look a really good team. Sometimes, and we'll come on to it more, I certainly noticed that an awful lot more watching the Sunday game back. You know, a text used during the game, we struggle with controlled breakout at time. You know, when a team puts offensive, like a full court press almost, if you want to use a basketball analogy, when they do that on us and we can't get our puck, our control break out of our own zone, and we can't really get good possession, we do a lot better when we can transition the puck on the stick into the offensive zone, stop up, get it deep, chip it in, whatever, and then cycle it back. We're such a better team when we're in possession of the puck, we don't chase the puck down well, we don't turn it over well. And these are things that, you know, passing could be a little bit better. So when we don't have control of the puck as well, we're not as good a team. And I think for that first 20 minutes, I thought we really controlled the puck. We controlled the ozone. But I thought we got away from that a little bit in the second period, and that allowed them. Like, even when we scored the goal, straight from the face-off, we conceded a penalty shot. It was like less than 10 seconds. I think the guys got in around the outside of the four. I think it's maybe Laker trying to back-check. Is almost forced to take the penalty. You know, but that shouldn't be a play we allow straight from a face-off. And, you know, it gives them a chance. OE obviously coming up with a really big save to keep us in it at that stage. But I just think that we've proven statistically that if we get the first goal, we have a much, much better chance of winning. If we concede that first goal, we're in big trouble. We're in big, big dips if we concede the first goal of a game. Saturday, we were able to get it. Sunday, we weren't. So, you know, it was a complete different game. We look at different team when we get that. And as I, at the start of this little piece, when we play what I would call front foot hockey, when we take the game to a team, whenever we're chasing it, we're just not a good team.
Highlights from this game available from Belfast Giants TV, and we move on to Sunday's game in Nottingham. We have to. It was a 4-0 win for the Nottingham Panthers. No Giants goals, and the Panthers goals come from Deutsch, Talbot, Tucson, and Malmquist. Are they all new guys? Are they all four of those goal scorers guys they brought in, or did any of those start the season with them?
The Deutsch definitely started the season with them.
Malmquist, I think the Talbot and Tucson definitely came in.
Yep.
Anyway, regards to goalies, Shane Owen, 21 saves against. He played 40 minutes. Then in came Stephen Murphy for the last 20. 9 shots against, no goals. And Carr in goal for the Panthers, 27 shots against. Rest were Sewell and Hogarth. And we start the assessment of this game because we were contacted by one of our listeners. He'll introduce himself and he'll give his take on the game on Sunday.
Hello, my name is Michael Douglas and I'm a big Belfast Giants fan, but I'm based in Nottingham, and as such I was at the game on Sunday, and I'd just like to share a few thoughts with a view from a bridge audience. Sunday's game was 4-0 in the end in the Nottingham Panthers' favour, and the Panthers fans certainly enjoyed that. It was one of the best atmospheres for a Sunday game that I've witnessed in a while. Sunday games are usually like a bit dreary, a bit dull, but you know, a quick goal for the Panthers sort of set them on their way. But it's the performance of the Giants that most concerned me, and in particular our ineptitude to have any sort of attack that was long or had any sort of hope of going in. You know, our second period, we forced a grand total of 3 shots on goal, which is frankly unacceptable. It wasn't that one-sided in terms of like overall play. Yes, the Panthers had a lot of possession, they had a few more power plays than us, but in the grand scheme of things, we should have put more shots on goal. And Adam Keefe took a time out after the third goal went in, which was shorthanded, to try and, you know, get his team back together. And that was midway through the second. Did it work? Well, I couldn't see any sort of response from the team, which I thought was quite worrying. We didn't look as if we had any plan B. So I'm sure people that have watched them more often will, see something else. But our plan on Saturday night, as it was in the other two games in November, seemed to be to attack wide and get a hard pass into the slot and deflect it in. That didn't work, and it was easy to read. Kevin Carr made some good non-saves, but actually just coming out and deflecting that puck. The defenseman collapsed, and they stopped that puck going across. So, two options. We either passed and tried to get that deflected in, or tried to pass to the off wing and get a half net shot, and at no point did that seem to work in any way. I think the only time that I saw it work was with Smotherman. It went to Jordan Smotherman and his stick blew up, which is just, you know, fated. In general, I think the first period is where we lost the game. We were very flat coming out. We made a lot of mistakes and the Panthers just poured it on. The ice was very, very tilted. And at 1-0, as a head coach, I would have called a timeout there and then, because we were not at the races. You could see that that was going to be more than a 1-0 game. It was going to be more than a 2-1 or a 3-2 game. That was going to be a bit of a blowout at that point. So in some ways, 4-0 flatters the Belfast Giants. So one of the main frustrations with me is the amount of simple mistakes that we were performing. The defenders didn't seem to know how to get out of the zone, beat the aggressive forecheck. The forwards didn't come and help out the defensemen. They didn't forecheck properly. My one moment of absolute ineptitude was early in the second period. So first shift of the second period, the Panthers get it in deep and they keep recycling it for about a minute, maybe a minute 10. Giants get the puck, get it out to Liam Morgan on the right wing. He's got space to get over the centre line, dump the puck, get a change. Remember, second period, long change. He does not take the centre line. He stops and plays the puck maybe 2 feet before the centre line. Straight down the ice, icing. Giants can't change, and suddenly we're in the same scenario. Panthers bring on a fresh forward line, do the same again for about 2 minutes, and, you know, it just knackers our team, and that was a very, very elemental mistake that I think should be coached out of a player at the stage of Liam Morgan's career. Pelich, Farnham, Liney all looked, and Shane Owen, all looked visibly frustrated, but the biggest concern that I have is Farnham and Liney were very frustrated and they were taking their eye off the game. And I just want to broaden this out. And the reason for that, I feel, is that about 15 years after the NHL and the North American leagues and the IIHF have started cutting down on holding and hooking and things, we are still in a league where that is not enforced. So things like, if you watch the NHL, you'll see the free hand penalties where players are in the corner battling. Suddenly, arm goes up. That's a penalty for the hold. That doesn't happen. So you've got a lot of players now, like Liney, like Farnham, that have grown up and played in leagues that do not tolerate that. Then they come into our league and they get grabbed in the boards. They get, you know, just get forced off because somebody's just grabbed them. And it was visibly frustrating them. And they were taking, like, their eye off the game. They were letting it get to them. And I think the league needs to take action in this. I mean, I'm not blaming the Panthers. I don't think for 1 minute that there's people in the Giants that don't do the same thing, but when you're getting away with it, you're not going to change. And you can see this whenever EIHL teams go into the CHL, go into the Continental Cup, EIHL players go play for GB and have referees from different leagues, and suddenly they're getting called penalties all the time, and they think, oh, well, I'm getting away with this at home. And they don't get away with it. And there was once I saw on Sunday night, Sam Herr, captain of the Panthers, had a penalty called against him for holding. And yeah, it was a hold. It was one of these, you know, trying to, a player was trying to get past him. He put out his hand, he grabbed him. And I can imagine that whenever that was called, that he's looking at Steph Hogarth or whoever called it and said, why is that a penalty? Because everyone gets away with it. 59 minutes and the rest of the 59 minutes of the game. You call one holding penalty. There was holds every shift. In the corners, out of the corners, you know, Giants as much as Panthers. But it's really frustrating when you're trying to get the puck out and you're battling hard, like a Farnham or like a Liney. You're battling hard and you get the position and then somebody pulls at you. You get off the puck, they clear the puck, and suddenly you've lost your momentum. And so that's something that I think the league needs to take action for. Last thing that I want to mention, and this has been a bit of a long rant, last thing I want to mention, there's a couple of Giants fans on Sunday that were making gestures towards the ice, and in relation to the referees, and especially after the disallowed goal, I think. And it just didn't sit right with me. I brought up on hockey as a family sport, as a sport where you can shout and, you know, support your team, maybe have a little bit of banter with the opposing fans, with the opposing team, but at no point should you abuse the fans and the team. I can understand their frustration, but their frustration should not have been with the refereeing decisions or the fans of the Panthers or the players of the Nottingham Panthers, because they were doing nothing really wrong. They were playing their game well. The people that didn't turn up were the players wearing the white, wearing the teal, wearing the red, and that is the bottom line. And a lot of our successes over the years have been built on solid, hard-to-beat road games. And that's just not happening this year. And I don't know what it is, but it's just not happening this year. So hopefully we'll get some revenge in playoffs or something like that. But unless something changes, I can't see us getting to the final weekend, to be honest.
Big thanks to Michael. Okay, so, Says, I'll start with you. This game was a terrible game, and it didn't get any better from the first minute onwards.
Not acceptable. That's it. I watched the game. I reckon there's probably two, maybe three guys come out with a bit of credit. Lewis Hook was one of them. I thought Curtis Leonard did okay, and Longer was okay. The rest of the guys, honestly, it was not good enough. We let ourselves down. We let the travelling fans down. We let the coach down. And it just wasn't acceptable. And it's not the first time it's happened this season, but I think that was probably our worst display of the year. I chatted with Adam this morning. I was chatting with a couple of our guys at practice, and they know that. They don't need me to basically tell them that wasn't good enough. They know it wasn't good enough. I'm expecting a reaction tomorrow night. And to be honest, I wouldn't be one bit surprised if going to Guildford tomorrow night and went, not one bit. But the bottom line for me is it was not good enough as a Belfast Giants team going into Nottingham, where we've played three times this year. We've scored one goal. We've been shut out twice. And I'm pretty sure that the one goal we did score was at the end of one of the games on a 6-on-3.
Yep.
So we haven't scored a 5-on-5 goal against them in their own building this year. When they came to Belfast, we shut them out 3-0. You know, we're not scoring. We're not, you know, Sunday was embarrassing. I think that's the easiest and most honest word I could basically come up with for it. It was absolutely embarrassing.
My problem with it is, like, especially when you see what we've done, and we've got them in a doubleheader in a couple of weeks, but every time I've seen them, be it against the Belfast Giants or in the other games that I've watched them play, I think Nottingham Panthers are a bang average side. There's nothing outstanding about them that they should be taking those sort of wins against us at home. Okay, difficult building to go to, but a bang average side that we should be scoring against. And Davey, you know, I'll come to you with regards statistically.
Sorry, I have to jump in. I would disagree with you.
Would you?
I think they're a good team, mate. I really do.
One or two good players, but I wouldn't have them down.
Sam Herr's the best player in the league.
Think so?
Absolutely. 100%. He's the best player in the league this season. I think they've got Kevin Carr's a good goalie. We did not work him hard enough. Again, it's three games at home that he's played against us, and he's, you know, he may as well take a night off. He's got our number. I honestly think they're a good team. Yeah, I mean, there's a few guys in there.
He's got our number there, but we've already shown that we can stuff them at home. And yeah, we still have two games at home. So, yes, I agree with you, Kevin Carr has, and he did it against Sheffield Steelers there the other week. But I still don't see what you see, mate. I see the likes of Lapine not performing. He gets a fight, gets a tilt with Pelletier, not performing. Yes, they've got players like Talbot, who I know, I've seen him score for Berlin on many an occasion, and he is a good player. And it looks like the likes of, say, you know, some of the new guys they've brought in are able to turn some things around. But I still don't think, like, they are. They've credit to them. They fought themselves in a position where they're now challenging. They've from a position of nowhere to a challenge, but is that as much down to them being able to gain results when others have fallen apart?
Yeah, possibly. You know, they've got Mark Matheson in the back end. He's assistant coach yesterday. He was in Sheffield for the last 2 years.
Yep.
He's a solid player. Deutsch is a good player. As I say, Sam Herr, I genuinely think he's the best player in the league. Perlini is, you know, he's had a quieter season this year. But I honestly think they'll be there or thereabouts. And, you know, we've got to play them twice at home, as you say. I'm pretty sure they've still got to play Sheffield a couple of times and Cardiff. You know, I honestly can't see us winning the league from where we're sitting right now. Yes, Sheffield were beat twice at the weekend. Cardiff were beat once. But we didn't capitalise on it.
Nope.
And that's the bit that if we had a one on Sunday, it's a different situation. You know, don't discard Coventry here. You know, Coventry are playing really, really well.
Nowhere as well.
You know, and that's exactly the way it is. They just came from nowhere. I think in the last 10 games, they're more points than anybody else. You know, and they're starting to play well. Since the guy, the goalie's name, CJ Mott, since he came in late November to early December, they've been really, really solid. Yeah, we've beat them a couple of times, but, you know, you know, Guildford are not going to win the league. Absolutely not. You know, they're going to play a deciding factor in who does win the league. I think they'll contribute to that as well. But, you know, I don't see us if we well because of our inconsistency. I don't think we're going to win it. I think that's nailed on now. But still a long way to go. And Nottingham for me, as I say, they're creeping up there, same as Coventry, and they're not a million miles away. They're above us at the minute, aren't they? They're 1 point above us.
Yep.
And I think they've still got a game in hand on us, but three games in hand on Sheffield.
Yep.
Which would take them level 1 points. Is that right?
I think it'll take them above Sheffield, but then Cardiff have enough games to go top.
Yeah. It's a long, long season. I know there's only probably 10 or 12 games left for most. Nottingham are a good team, Paddy. And again, I'm not saying they're outstanding, but I do think they're a good team.
Absolutely, we'll have to disagree on that, mate. But you bring up CJ Mott there as well. Honestly, I think what I've seen from him is he's put himself in a position to be one of the best, if not the best goalkeeper in the league, the way he's been performing in the last number of weeks. Davey, your take on this terrible performance of the Belfast Giants?
as a carryover from my comments for the game, I think that the Nottingham Panthers, the extra day's rest for them, you know, they were waiting for us. They had the game on the Friday, the Saturday off. We obviously played Saturday, travelled Sunday, and that had an effect. Certainly in the first period, the Nottingham Panthers were able to get on top of us, and we just had no real answer. You know, I think 7 shots on goal in the first period, 1 shot on goal in the second period tells a massive story. You know, 8 shots through 40 minutes isn't going to win you any hockey games. We just couldn't get any consistency of offensive play together. We couldn't get any sustained pressure or come up with any real grade A score chances, and that is obviously going to affect you when you've got a, you know, it sticks in my craw a wee bit to give the Nottingham Panthers any credit whatsoever. But you know, I'm not going to say I'm on Simon's side here, but I think they've got certainly a talented element of their roster. They've got 2 or 3 standout players there, and the likes of Matheson at the back end and her up front that Simon's talked about. They've got a decent goaltender. I don't think I would swap Carr for Owen, but he's definitely a decent goaltender. And obviously he had Friday night off as well. I think Jackson Whistle played Friday night, so he was coming in up refreshed. So, you know, any offense we could get that was kind of stifled. It was just one of those games, and you'll hear the coach's comments himself. You know, it was, would almost have been better staying in Belfast, and that's not acceptable from a hockey club that's representing this great city. And, you know, disappointed because we talked the last podcast a couple of weeks ago. We said it's almost every game you go into is your biggest game of the season. And we took the 2 points from Saturday night and you go on to Sunday, and that was our biggest game of the season. And we dropped flat, shut out for the 8th time this season. You know, I get asked all the time on Twitter about different stats, and somebody asked me the other night about, surely this is an unwanted record, if you want to call it a record. We averaged 2.35 shutouts historically per season against. This is our 8th time we've had a goose egg against us this season, which is, you know, Simon said earlier in the show, and you can look historically, and it is a little bit pointless to say Kyle Bond, Blair Riley, Pat Dwyer, Darcy Murphy. You're talking a couple of 100 points there, and it hasn't been replaced, unfortunately. Can't criticise recruitment, can't criticise reaction, because we've reacted. I think we've made 4 changes across the course of the season. We didn't maybe get from Vronka what we thought we were going to get from Vronka, and different bits and pieces. You know, I'm not going to single anybody out. It's just Patrick's name came into my head there. I'm certainly not singling him out. It's been a malaise right across the season from all the top end, the forwards. You know, defensively, I think at times, it's just a bit crazy considering we got beat 4-0. The shorthanded goal killed us, killed the game on Sunday. At 2-0, had we got something, and you're going to maybe end up break in the third period, 2-1 game, but that third goal absolutely knocked the stuffing out of the guys, and I don't think we skated hard enough anywhere near hard enough. Bobby, you know, I'll add one name in this, I know we haven't disagreed about it, but we've had a difference of opinion about it. I thought Bobby Farnham cut a frustrated figure out there, but he kept skating. He kept going, and he was frustrated out there and maybe didn't have his best game, but he's one of the guys I thought, you know, he's played like 25, 26 shifts out there, and he's kept going. Liam Reddicks, I thought, had an okay game. They add in the hookie and the longer conversation from earlier. Obviously, Stephen Murphy got a bit of time on ice as well with Shane Owen getting a bit of a seat through the middle of the game. But just one of those ones. We're at a stage of season now, when we play out this weekend, we have 11 left. We're not in a position to affect the top of the standings at the minute. We're talking about trying to defend the league title. At the minute, we're trying to jostle for not to be, you know, almost to be able to pick your playoff spot here, because there's teams we'd not want to match up against. For me, I know it's harsh and to say I think the league it's certainly out of our hands at this stage. Certainly out of our hands. It would take quite a remarkable set of results. We were in a bad place last year. You know, we came from 11 points back and won it on the last day of the season. But at that stage, you know, we had to go and win the league. Nobody else looked at the league last year to see us as anywhere near consistent enough or having the players a la Dwyer, Bond, Murphy, Riley, whoever, that are banging at the minute, that are suddenly burning up. It's good to see Kieran Long getting another goal over the weekend.
Yep.
I'd like to see, you know, we talked about this in the podcast a couple of weeks ago. I'd like to see Kieran maybe getting a wee opportunity up online just to get loose and try and get a few goals. Proving in this league that he'll get goals if you put the right people with him, and he'll get in front of the net. And he's came up with two or three over the last few weeks. So good on him. It's a conundrum when you look at our statistics, our sort of leaderboard. You see how many players have a point to Kieran that don't. You know, when you look down the league and you have to scroll way, way down that first page on the Elite League website to come across a Giants player, and there's not too many on the first page. You know, you that's don't want to get into when you have to, click next page for our stats. That's not good, mate.
Sorry to interrupt, but that's a really good point as well, because when you look at it, the stingiest defence in the Elite League is the Nottingham Panthers, right? 105. I give them credit defensively, the stingiest defence. We're only one goal behind that. We've 106 goals conceded. The old adage is goals win games, defences win championships. So our defence is performing, you would argue. It's what you've just said. It's the points per game. It's the spread of how many people are putting the puck in the net and the assists, is that we're just not performing up front.
I was looking at this. Sorry for jumping in. I was looking at this the other day. Manchester and Fife are the only two teams that have scored less goals than us this season in the league. That's
it.
That's where we're on our knees. Yeah. We're not putting the puck in the net. And it's not because we're not getting chances. We are getting chances. But there's
when you look at it, we have Cardiff of only 135, you know, Nottingham 130, 126, 130 for other teams. It's much of a muchness. So it's, you know, a 5-6 goal blowout in any game. We have one goal games has gone against us. You know, our ability to turn a one goal game into a win or an extra point has been our Achilles heel, because we can't get that one extra goal that other teams are. I think we've had good goal handling. That's goals.
You've already said it. We've been shut out 8 times.
Yeah.
That's the problem. We're not scoring goals. That's it. You know, 8 times in one season. I reckon if you went back over the 20 years, you'll find it. That's probably the most ever in one season. I'm not.
Thanks for listening when I said that 2 minutes ago.
No, but I thought you said that. I didn't hear you saying that part. I thought you said that was an average of 2.35 or 3.25 shutouts per season. I didn't hear you saying the first part, so my apologies.
Yeah, that's an unwanted record, unfortunately. That's the high point in franchise history for shutouts per season.
And on that note, let's move it on a bit.
Not a good record.
That 4-0 win for Nottingham Panthers, you can watch online on Panthers TV if you want to. Fair play to you if you do. Right, let's go down to training with Mr. Kitchen. He popped in. He did chat to Mr. Hook and Mr. Long. But first of all, let's hear from Mr. Keefe.
Adam, after a couple of weeks off for most of the guys, I was back to work at the weekend, Nottingham and first of all in Manchester and Belfast. A 3-2 victory over the Manchester Storm, who you haven't faced for quite a while, and it was a really tight affair, but obviously coming out on top was obviously a big relief.
Yeah, I thought our first period was good. I thought our second period, I didn't like our second period. I thought we allowed them to get back into the game, and I could kind of feel that it may happen. And then obviously they got the game tying goal there. The third period, I liked the third period that we came back, and obviously got some big goals to go ahead, and a big power play goal as well. So credit to the guys to see that one out. Unfortunately, we didn't follow it up the next night.
Sunday, obviously the fans couldn't watch it apart from the ones who made the trip over to Nottingham. What was your view on the game?
Oh, we might as well have stayed in Belfast. They were the better team from start to finish. It was disappointing considering the magnitude of the game. Obviously, Nottingham was fresh and waiting for us and having the night off before, and they played like it. You can't take anything away from the Nottingham Panthers on that night. They were very good and probably one of the best teams we faced this year. And on the flip side of it, we weren't good enough. And the combination of those two things, we couldn't regain control, and we couldn't get one goal to... to get us back into it there when it was 2-0. If we had gotten one, it maybe changed the tide of the game, but we ended up giving up a shorthanded goal, and then that was the rest of the game.
Games are coming thick and fast, and obviously going down the stretch here, and teams are picking up wins that maybe you wouldn't have thought. Obviously Fife getting the big win over Sheffield on Sunday night, and Sheffield losing on Saturday night as well. There's still a long way to go, but obviously you're focused on tomorrow night against Guildford.
Yeah, it's the league's much tighter this year, so that's why you're seeing what you're seeing, and that's what we've seen all season. So I guess there's an unpredictability about the way that it's going to shake down. All we can do is focus on our next game and just keep trying to rack up some wins here and find consistent form running into the playoffs. I think that's where we're at right now. There's no hiding the fact that we're struggling to score goals right now, and we need to find ways to get some dirty ones to get us to get some guys to release the stick and start scoring some goals, because it's going to be tough to score the farther we get here, and the tighter the defensive coverage gets on everybody. So we certainly need to be better, and we just need to worry about the next game and try and build.
Manchester and I can't remember who else we play this weekend. Sheffield, is it?
Sheffield.
Manchester and Sheffield this weekend. Again, it's certainly something you've got on your radar as well. But with only 12, 13 games remaining, what's your realistic expectation heading down the line?
To find form. I think that's my expectation. And the league's going to shake down the way it shakes down, depending on other results and our own results. But we have to stay focused on one game at a time. You see, before the Olympic break there, we go into two games. We're solid for a full 60. We don't get the result we wanted on the game two because we couldn't score a goal. But we come back, and I thought we played a good 45 minutes against Manchester, and we didn't play very many minutes at all, good minutes against Nottingham. So we need to stay focused on the next game and being engaged for a full 60, and then we'll regroup after each game. That's the only thing we can do right now.
Two top lads to finish off the interviews on a Tuesday morning, Kieran Long and Lewis Hoogie. I know Longer's a wee bit nervous when he's talking to AVFTP, but as the current player of the month for January, the weekend, talk us through, first of all, Saturday, and then obviously the game against Nottingham on Sunday.
I think Saturday we had to like grind out a win against Manchester. They're a good team, and they came in, and they wait for us to make mistakes, and they pounce on it, and I think they played well, and you know, we did well to grind out a win there. And then Sunday, we just, you know, we just didn't have it on Sunday, you know. We were struggling to score goals, and they moved the puck well, and they were just better on the night than us.
I think the best thing about Sunday, obviously, and hopefully you did do a bit of chirping after the game, was Spurs getting the last minute winner against Aston Villa.
Huge. Kieran was, you know, boasting because they went 1-0 up. He thought they had the certain win. He was happy. He was bouncing around the change room, and then to hear the final result, Kieran obviously disappeared then. We didn't know where he was. I think he was in a toilet crying somewhere. But you know, they played well. They had a chance. You know, they don't normally have chances in games. So, but yeah, it was never in doubt. Tottenham are always going to win that game against Aston Villa. I mean, they shouldn't even be in the Premier League, let's be honest.
Longer, what was your view in that game? Obviously, Lewis said you disappeared for a couple of hours.
Yeah, you know, it's always going to be a tough year being a Villa fan. Boys, they just got to clear the ball. What are they doing? It's like a 12-year-old could kick the ball. He could just use his hand, take a red card. There's no danger.
So it's just to remind people, it's Tuesday morning and you're still crying about it?
Yeah.
Taff,
you can go away as well. Yeah, it's pretty upset. We need points. I don't want us to get relegated. Your first year in the Premier League is going to be tough. And we need to grind out some draws rather than losing in the last 10 minutes.
All you had to do was clear it.
I know!
Let's get back to the hockey. Big goal Saturday night. Not, you know, blowing my own trumpet here, but I did tell you on Saturday morning you're going to get one.
Yeah, you did. I mean, hey, skating with you on that Tuesday really got me going. Saw some real slick dangles out there, which I learned, and I even done one of your moves.
What about
during the game?
Kick your butt, kid?
Yeah, I saw that you do that Tuesday in warm up, and I was like, oh, I got to do that to be a skilled guy. So, you know, just took a leaf out of your book.
Sunday, Hookie's already said, literally just didn't turn up.
Yeah, it was a tough one. We knew Nottingham would come out hot. I just don't think defensively we just weren't playing as a unit, and they smothered us early, and I think we gassed out towards the end of the game.
Hookie, tomorrow night you're back on the road again, away to Guildford. Always a tough place to go into, but you've had success there, and no reason why you can't do it again.
Absolutely, like you said, every time we've been in Guildford, we've had success, we've played good games, and hopefully Sunday can be a wake-up call for us. We just had a good practice there, and we'll get on the road tomorrow and put in a good solid 60 minutes and hopefully come away with a win.
And then it's off to Manchester this weekend. You've had a couple of seasons in Manchester yourself longer, and you're used to playing on that dingy wee rink.
Yeah, definitely. I think going into Manchester on Saturday, the boys are just going to have to be that second quicker making decisions. You don't really have much time to think. You just go get pucks in, pucks out. And every time you get a chance to shoot a puck and get a couple bodies crashing to the net, and something will happen.
Gentlemen, thank you very much indeed. Enjoy the rest of your Tuesday.
Thank you, sir.
Can't believe, says, you ganged up on Kieran Long like that. You, Lewis Hook, and Taff come in. Unbelievable.
He's lucky he didn't get stuck into him. He could have at least said
he, you know, at least Villa are going to a cup final. You know what I mean?
He could have, but he didn't. Back. He chirped in on Friday before the boys went away on Sunday morning, and he chirped in that Villa were going to beat Spurs, and I just, you know, told him to catch himself on. But you know, our result was never in doubt, mate. Lowy last minute goals are always great, but I had to just obviously chirp him. So he was very quiet, and pertinent, as Hookie said, he disappeared for about an hour and a half and tried to hide on everybody. So but yeah, he's such a good lad, and Hookie too. The two of them are two good boys.
Did you see much of the day too?
I didn't, mate. No.
So Mark Chapman made a pun on that, because Pepe Reina got the man of the match, but Son scored the winner, so it was Son Sean on a Reina day.
Right, it's one of them ones you had to be there, was it?
Mate, I think that's an absolutely superb pun.
Ah, but you love the puns,
absolutely superb pun. Anyway, right. Next on the agenda is the Stephen Nolan Show. So Monday morning, Stephen Nolan decides to run with the shocking fact that punch-ups are allowed in games of ice hockey. David, what was the point?
Well, I think that was a political decision to run story to take the heat off maybe flack stuff that had happened over the weekend. I think it was an opportunity to have a dig at the PSNI, who were sponsors of the game. I think there was a number of factors. It wasn't a very well-researched article. When you see the email from Vinny, it kind of was an article that he wasn't particularly comfortable running. And I think some of the contributions just weren't fact-checked. And, you know, I understand why the club and ourselves wanted to keep quiet on it, because you don't feed this kind of nonsense, but it was frustrating listening to it. Some of the contributions, there's a fight in every game. They should be made to keep their helmets on. Okay, there isn't a fight in every game statistically. I think we've had 14 fights in 50-something games this season. You know, we players do keep their helmets on. If they take your helmet off, it's an additional 10-minute penalty misconduct. You know, there was just so many things wrong with the discussion. The discussion about fighting in ice hockey is a completely different subject to what Stephen Nolan was trying to do, which was to kind of defame the Belfast Giants by saying, oh, you're a family-friendly sport and you're encouraging fighting, and the PSNI have this one punch can kill and they're sponsoring the game. Brilliant that the PSNI put out an email or a press release saying, yeah, we had an advert in last night's programme, which doesn't exist. But that's an aside. I just think that, you know, if we ever want to have a discussion about fighting in hockey, I'm all over it. But this was not what that this discussion was about.
As you say, we were contacted by Vinnie Hurl, producer of the Stephen Nolan show, asking if we could, you know, put ourselves in contact with the show to put somebody on to stand up. We declined, on, as you say, on the basis that this was not a discussion about the merits of fighting in ice hockey. This was a sensationalised whipping up of this to try to point at the PSNI, to try to point at the Giants, to try to point at whoever, in a what seemed to me as a nonsense discussion that was not about fighting in hockey. It was just, says, a morning whinge with no point to it whatsoever.
Well, you're going to have to get your bleep machine out, because this is the biggest load of b**ks I've ever heard in my life, ever. I absolutely applaud the PSNI for getting involved with the Belfast Giants. It's one of the only sports in Northern Ireland where both, and this is, you boys know all about this because you're doing a, you're involved in a documentary at the minute with regards to it, but Catholics and Protestants are, everybody's equal. Everybody. So, I mean, is there a better place to advertise that they're looking for new PSNI officers? Is there? Wow. I don't think there is. You know, there's a massive big sign outside the arena on the River Lagan at the minute, advertising, you know, putting a campaign out there for more officers. The public's crying out for more officers on the street. Yet they, when they try to do something about it, they go out and get involved with one of the biggest sports teams in Northern Ireland, who bring in more fans than anybody else in sport in Northern Ireland last season. And they try and get their name out there with regards to advertisements on the screens, and obviously the assistant chief constable dropping the puck as well. I think they need applauded for that. With regards to what Nolan had to say about it and trying to, you know, wind people up, Davey rang me yesterday. He says, did you listen to that this morning? No. You need to go download it and listen to it. No, not doing it. How long is it on for? An hour? No, it's not going to happen. I didn't listen to one word of it. I just looked at what people were saying on Twitter and Facebook, and it's the biggest load of shit ever. Ever. Rant over.
There's nothing more I can add to that. I think that it was a nonsense piece that they ran for an hour to fill out some time to try to, as Davey said, to try to distract from the fact that I think the Nolan show itself has been getting a bit of heat over the weekend. We see what Trish Devlin and all put out over the weekend on Twitter about how she feels that there's a bit of a facilitation there to some of the abuse that people are getting online. If it's that, if it's not, it seemed that considering the amount of news there is out there, for this to be the number one story on a Monday morning for the Stephen Nolan show is more of a reflection on the Stephen Nolan show than it is on anything else. I am, however, going to give a big thumbs up to Robert from Carrickfergus and his talk about how there's nothing wrong with a good squared egg. I thought he was absolutely... But what's wrong, Davey, what's wrong with a good squared egg?
I thought he was brilliant. He had Stephen pretty well. What's wrong? If two guys just want to go around a corner after the idle ball, they've had a bit of a rye, let's go around a corner, fair dig, you know, and that's it all done with. Please don't need to know anything about it. Let's just get it on. It wasn't exactly great with what we were talking about, but it was certainly light relief. And I think Joe was my hero when he came on and went, well, Belfast Giants money was all right for you 15 years ago. And Noel was, why is this always about me? Because it's always about you, Stephen. And now you've got to talk. We've talked about you on the biggest show in the country.
Absolutely. Good man.
And see, the other thing about it is it a coincidence that Cool FM of now number one and we joined them? Is it a coincidence?
Not a coincidence, mate. Yeah. Not in the slightest.
You know what I mean? ABFTV got involved with Cool FM there back in October, September time or whenever it was, and all of a sudden Pete's Nolan Show's the biggest show in the country, 310,000 listeners every week. Nolan Show doesn't get anywhere near that. I think it's about another 20,000 listeners less as well. So, like, again, Cool FM are the way forward. Thanks very much for them for putting our content out on their webcast or their website and all their apps and stuff like that. So but great to be involved with Cool FM and
thanks very much for turning up
the Sheffield Steelers campaign of hate.
you needed to redo another one of them, David. The Stephen Nolan
campaign
of hate. I'm on Nolan all the time, Davey, from East Belfast. You're up next.
Right, let's quickly look across the league. GB unfortunately fell short in the final game, and they exited Olympic qualification at that stage. Something that's going to just rile us up just a little bit more. Mario Giamacchi didn't get any suspension, Sis.
Honestly, look, again, I honestly couldn't believe this. I was speaking to Davey about this after the. I wasn't on the last podcast, so it was a day or so after that when there was no announcement made. And I was in the middle of a conversation with Davey. I said, you know what, I'm going to phone Keller. And I phoned Todd, and Todd says he couldn't believe there was no suspension. And that's coming from the general manager of the Cardiff Devils. The boys who were away with GB, when there was no announcement made, there was an announcement made for two yellow guys got suspended. I can't even remember who they were now. But there was two yellow suspensions handed out by Dubs. They were waiting for the news coming through on Muramaki. And even the Cardiff boys that were in that GB camp couldn't believe that there's no suspension. We showed it to an AHL linesman, an ECHL linesman, and NCAA guy who's been involved in all three. We spoke to officials throughout the Elite League, and they, every single one of them, said it was a suspension. Todd's exact words to me were, I thought it was one, maybe two games. I wouldn't have been surprised if it was more, but I couldn't believe he didn't get anything.
The Belfast Telegraph spoke to Mike Hicks, Davey, who said that they showed it to another European League official for a ratification from there, and they said it wasn't worth the suspension. Yeah. Do you believe it?
Yeah. I do believe it was shown to someone for their opinion. I think if you put 100 hockey experts in their room, or not even experts, but some people with hockey opinions, people that can see, don't even need to be an expert, just need to have eyes. I think you would find that there would be much more than a 50-50 split. It wouldn't be like 50% of the people would be saying, I can see why that shouldn't be a penalty, and 50% would be. It's just wrong. Dobbs have got this one wrong. I think what we should be actually discussing is how many games he got, you know, and arguing should it have been two games, three games, four games, five games, whatever. Instead, we're actually arguing that he got no games. Cardiff Devils have been given a free pass here. I hope, you know, and it brings up another discussion, you know, the Department of Player Safety isn't really about proactively being involved in player safety. It's about retrospective punishment to make players know that if you make that kind of hit, you're going to be sitting for five games, you're going to be fined £500, £1,000, whatever. They're retroactive. They should be more proactive. The players now know that there's a kind of... They haven't left the door open for players to make that hit, because I think that's a naughty hit. And I think if that hit happens in any other game, I'm not saying there's been any outside influence on the decision-making. Don't get me wrong. I think this decision has been independently made. And I think that it's just been a bad decision. We have to live with it now. It's gone. No game. Cardiff have played again since. Miramaki's played again since. I just hope it doesn't open a can of worms that players... Now, you know, what happens is if there's a similar hit, and you've seen a similar hit, Taff actually tweeted out just a couple of days later from the NHL, two games, instant ban, very, very similar. And if anything, and I said to Taff as well, if anything, the hit in the NHL or the hit in Belfast was worse.
The one in the NHL,
he certainly gets a lot of body and slides up into the head. Knows what he's doing. I think he's targeted the head as well. But there's no place in the game for the hit that Muramaki made. I think he's got very lucky. It's definitely the wrong decision from Dobbs. But you know what? Sometimes that's where human error comes in.
I think I said it 2 weeks ago, and I stand by it. The fact that they didn't give anything there is a massive hit to the credibility of the Department of Player Safety. Where they go from here, well, it's up to them. Sheffield had a horrendous weekend. They are top, but they lost to the bottom two teams in the league. Cardiff dropped points in Guildford, as is stated earlier on, and you know, with those two teams both losing, we maybe should have picked up points against the Nottingham Panthers to put pressure on them, and we didn't. Clan at the other end of the table, well, they're in continue their free fall. They have only 8 wins from their last 28 games, and they're in that three-way battle for the playoff spot. Let's look at the table. Sheffield, despite their losses, are still top, just about. They are 44 games, 57 points. Cardiff have 4 games in hand on them, and they're 40 games, 54 points. Of course, if they win those games in hand, they will go top. Nottingham, 41 games, 53 points. Belfast in fourth, 42 games, 52 points. Coventry, as Davey said, are on a bit of a run at the minute, 42 games, 50 points. And then Guildford, 41 games, 47 points. Glasgow Clan, 42 games, 37 points. Manchester in eighth, 43 and 37 points. And then Dundee, just 1 point behind the Storm on 36 points. And the Fife Flyers still propping up the league table, 30 points off 44 games.
Okay, we're delighted to be joined tonight by, we used to call him the latest Belfast giant, but he's had his feet under the table for a while now. It's Elgin Pearce. Welcome along to View from the Bridge.
Hey guys, how's it going?
Very well, thank you. Elgin, I suppose let's say, first question up, how are you settling into Belfast? It's been a while now, but are you enjoying it?
Yeah, I'm really enjoying it. My girlfriend and I have settled in nicely here, and it's been nice to, you know, get to know the city a bit, and we've been able to travel up to the northern coast a bit and down to Dublin as well. So we've seen a little bit of Ireland, and I have some family roots here as well in Ballymena and stuff. So it's been nice to get to know the area and get to know some of the people around here as well.
And settling into the team okay?
Yeah, it's been nice. I mean, teammates have been really accommodating. They've helped us get settled in, and the coaching staff as well as the management team has been super accommodating. It's been a great transition for my girlfriend and I.
Let's talk about the hockey itself. It's been, I'm sure it's as frustrating for you as it is for us to watch. Inconsistent, I suppose, would be one word that has described us of late.
Yeah. I think, obviously, if we're going to have a chance to win the league here, we have to put together some really consistent games, and we realize that, you know, it's coming down to a point where there's no more time for inconsistencies, and I think we know that within our team, so I believe we'll be ready to tackle these next couple games.
Can you put your finger on it at all? I know it's something that you'll work on a lot in practice and team talks, and you'll be watching video back from, but how we can generally get a really good performance out, we can grind a win out, and then maybe the second night we just really struggle to get the legs going?
Yeah, I mean, obviously the second night is a different kind of, you know, mindset. Usually, you know, you have to look at it from a tactical view and conserve your energy in some parts of the game. And especially with travel and on back-to-back nights, you really have to be smart in the way you play as a team. So I think we're understanding that, and I think we have a lot of upside to coming into these next road games here.
Elgin, it's Kitchy. I want to take you back to the start of the season. You started off in Dundee. You obviously played in Belfast for Dundee, had success. What's Coach Pash's secret, because he always seems to have his guys up for games against Belfast?
Yeah, it seemed like we always played well against you guys when I was in Dundee. I think it's just, you know, when you come into Belfast, you know, it's a big crowd, it's a nice rink, you know, the fans are lively. It's a great spot to come in as a road team and play, especially when you're coming from Dundee, where it's, you know, it's obviously a smaller market team. You know, we had great fans there as well, but, you know, it's a smaller market team. And it's, you know, when lower-end teams play top-end teams, they always get up for the games. And, you know, it's something that when, you know, when you play those kind of teams, you have to realize that they're going to bring their best against you as a top team. So, yeah, Dundee had some success against Belfast this year, but there's no more playing Dundee, so I think we got to move on and continue to look forward.
Well, again, when you were a star, we had that. I had the opportunity to commentate for Giants TV, and I remember the incident that led you to have the fight with Jean Dupuy. But in the lead up to that, the incident when you were standing side by side with the man monster Matt Pelich, can you let us know what was said when you were literally standing, you know, up to his kneecap at that stage?
Yeah. I mean, there's not really much you can say against Pelly when you're on a different team. You know, he's a pretty intimidating guy out there. You know, I think he plays the game the right way when I was playing against him. So I, you know, there was nothing said that was anything that I'll take to heart, and I don't think he would either. You know, he plays the game the right way, and he's a tough player to play against. So yeah, he's definitely someone I wouldn't want to go up against in a fight, that's for sure.
And obviously the move, less than 5 weeks after that game, the move to Belfast came about. How did that situation happen for you?
You know, I think it was just it was a mutual decision in Dundee to, you know, move on from Dundee. And in the summer, Kiefer had reached out to me, and I'd always had interest in coming to Belfast. And, you know, when things didn't work out in Dundee, Belfast was the first team I reached out to, and I reached out to Kiefer, and he obviously had some interest from the summer, and we were able to make it work. So, you know, I was excited to come here right away, and he was my first call.
Elgin, let's take a little trip over to Twitter here. We asked the Twitter followers for a few questions for you, what they had to ask you. The Teal Trooper, Daz Dude, has asked, when you were growing up, was there a particular player that inspired you or one you wanted to emulate?
Yeah, I mean, I always liked the way Jerome McGinley played the game. You know, he was able to score, but he was also very gritty. He was a leader on his team. He stood up for his teammates. You know, he wasn't afraid to drop the gloves. You know, I was actually in the building in Vancouver when he scored his 50th goal 1 year. My dad and I were there. And I also looked up to, you know, players like Mike Bendano and Rick Nash, who, you know, I just thought had a real intelligence for the game of hockey and understood how to play the game. And so those are some of the players that come to mind right now.
Another one from Twitter from young Dylan Cackety. We always send him our regards. He's getting on with his transplant recovery there. Do you have any pre-game rituals?
Pre-game rituals? Yeah, I mean, I like to, for me, keeping the same routine before the game is important. I think it helps my mind and my body become in sync and kind of get ready mentally for the game. So I like to keep the same routine. I think it kind of switches everything on. I'll do my warm-up usually, you know, do a 15-minute warm-up, get everything ready, and then I like to head out onto the bench and just take a couple deep breaths and, you know, visualize myself playing the game. That's about it.
When you were at the University of Calgary, obviously 4 years there, and getting the opportunity to step up to the AHL level with the Manitoba Moose, and obviously you played a few games in the ECHL as well, sorry.
Right.
The interest obviously coming to the UK and looking at it from a perspective of a player who's spent all of his career in North America, how much of a transition is that for you? Obviously, you know, it's not as easy. You've already mentioned you've got your girlfriend as well, and lucky enough to have her come across and make that journey with you. How difficult decision is it to make decisions like that?
Yeah, you know, I honestly, it wasn't a hard decision for myself. You know, hockey has given me a lot of avenues, a lot of, you know, opportunities in my life. And I saw this transition over to Europe as a good life experience, also a good business experience, and a way of furthering my professional hockey career. So I didn't really have any struggle with making the decision to come over here. My girlfriend was already coming over here to play soccer, football for Crystal Palace down in London. So, you know, it was an easy transition for us, and I didn't really look at it as a problem.
Elgin, we're conscious that obviously tomorrow is a travel day and your game tomorrow night. We don't want to keep you too long. Let's try and drag it back to the Belfast Giants, and not even the week ahead, but the next 3 or 4 days. It's, you know, travel day, game tomorrow, traveling the next day, and the games are coming thick and fast.
Yeah.
Manchester, Sheffield at the weekend. It's all about, I know we take one game at a time, but you've got to factor in rest and recharging and eating and getting ready for the weekend as well. So it's a difficult few days coming up.
Yeah, this is obviously a highly taxing week, you know, with the travel and everything. But I think we're lucky with the way that we travel. You know, we have a lot of smooth transition with our flights and stuff like that. So, but it's going to be definitely a energy conserving week on the days that we don't play. Getting back into Belfast on Thursday and getting ready for Saturday and Sunday. So yeah, it'll definitely be a week where it's energy conserving, and then, you know, a lot of highly taxing games, but I think we'll be ready to go.
Just one question I like to ask the guys about, you know, when they come in here and the slightly different nuance that the regular season being such a prize. Adam Keefe spoke the other day after the game, and he spoke after training this morning about also now having to gear ourselves for a slightly different style of hockey. And, you know, as we go into sort of playoff hockey, teams are starting to tighten up defensively. Everybody's starting to look at that prize as well. Is that something we're starting to tweak towards too?
Yeah, I believe, you know, coming down the stretch, obviously your defensive game has to be totally locked in. Everyone has to be on the same page. And, you know, with the teams that are going to be pushing towards a league championship, you know, they have a lot of guys that are able to put the puck in the net. So our defensive game has to be really locked in. So, yeah, I believe defense is the most important thing.
Elgin, as Davey's already touched on, we are conscious that you have an early flight tomorrow morning over to Guildford. The game tomorrow night is the most important one for us. Obviously, that's the next one. You won in Guildford just over a couple of weeks ago. They're a tough team to play against. We know they've a really solid unit, and well, three units, and obviously a very good power play. But how did practice go today, and how are the boys ready for tomorrow?
You know what, I was really happy. I thought we had a lot of energy in practice today. You know, it was obviously a quick one, just get our legs in under us. But I think we'll be really, really prepared for tomorrow. I mean, obviously, yes, Guildford is a tough rank to go in and play against. But I believe we're ready. I mean, we had great success there last game when we were there, and I think we'll show up well tomorrow.
Listen, we really do appreciate your time. Wish the best luck tomorrow night, and thanks for making the trip over from Dundee to become a Giant. We really do appreciate it, and thanks again.
Yeah, happy to be here. Thanks, guys.
Live and exclusive EIHL action Wednesday night on Free Sports. Second place Cardiff sit 3 points out of top spot as they welcome the Flyers to town. Fife sit last but are fighting for their playoff lives, 7 points out of eighth. Todd Dudiem's squad are coming off a big 3-1 win over first place Sheffield on Sunday and have points in three of their past four outings. The Devils are 3-2 in their past five games, but coming off a 6-3 loss in Guildford Sunday. Haddad leads Cardiff with 27 league goals, while Gauthier and Finucci have 18 each for Fife. Can Cardiff get closer to top spot, or will the Flyers continue their positive momentum and keep playoff hopes alive? Join Paul Eddy, Chris Ellis, and myself, Aaron Murphy, from 7 p.m. at Viola Arena with the pregame show, and face-off is 7:30. Check freesports.tv for all our channel listings. Cardiff versus Fife, coming up Wednesday on Free Sports.
Okay, thanks, Elgin Pierce. Three games for the Belfast Giants in the next 7 days, three games on the road in the next 7 days, and they start on Wednesday night with a game at the Guildford Flames. That game was, of course, supposed to be on Free Sports. It's been moved due to logistical issues within Guildford. 7:30 p.m. at the Spectrum. No webcast, just online updates for that. Saturday, away to Manchester at the Drizzle Dome, 7 p.m. You get that on Storm TV if you're not making the trip. And then over to the Sheffield Arena on Sunday at 4 p.m. for the game there, and you get that on Sheffield Steelers TV with Jonathan Fernley. Three tough games, Simon. Guildford, Manchester and Sheffield.
Yeah, a game where the boys will only be concentrating on Guildford tomorrow night. You know, I watched the practice this morning. They all seemed well up for it. Adam has certainly expressed his disappointment from the result on Sunday, but as he always does, it's done and dusted. There's nothing to do about that one now. Just move on to the next one. Take one game at a time. And Davey loves this part, but it's going to be a tough game. Guildford are always reasonably good in their own barn. We've played well the last couple of times we've been there. And to be honest, I'm expecting a result tomorrow night because of a reaction needed after a very disappointing, I don't even want to use the word performance, but a very disappointing outing against the Nottingham Panthers on Sunday.
A bit of a twist, Davey. When you look at the Manchester team that we'll face on Saturday, what player do you think is the one we should be most looking out for?
What?
Go on. Who's the most who's the most dangerous player in the Manchester Storm side?
Matt Ginn.
That's who it is. That's who we have to get past.
He's the one that we have to get past. He's the one that can stop us winning. He's the best goalie in the league, according to Neil Lecoutre.
His opinion of the best goalie in the league changes with the wind. You know that.
Oh, well, yeah, Duba sometimes.
It was Duba the other week.
Somebody mentioned the Coventry goalie on this, TJ Mudd. Somebody's mentioned Kevin Carr. But, yeah, look, I have big respect for TV's Neil Coach Russell's opinion, and he obviously sees Matt Ginn a lot more than we do, and he's watched him for a number of seasons now. But, yeah, for me, I hate this bit, Paddy.
Okay, that's fine.
I've never said this, but if we're talking, I don't think we need to worry about other teams' players. I think we need to worry about getting a performance out of our guys, and some of our guys owe a performance to the club and the city and the fans. And I think after last Sunday night, and I think Adam Keefe will have had them in training over the last day or two, well, probably just today, they're probably travel day on Monday. I think they're capable of being given a lot of information to digest, and they'll have been, they're whatever roster he goes with tomorrow night, those guys that are in there, that's a bit of a luxury we have at the minute as well, where we're able to chop and change things. I said earlier on that I'd like to see Kieran Long maybe getting a wee opportunity up the lines a wee bit to see if we can spark him into action coming down, because let's be honest, these guys with the North American passports haven't done it, so why not give the British kid that's got 30 goals on his resume from last season an opportunity? Maybe, he has to earn that ice time as well, but maybe there's also time just to throw him in and see what happens.
Yeah. So the game against Guildford, 7:30 p.m, Manchester, 7 p.m. on Saturday, and the game against the Sheffield Steelers, 4 p.m. on Sunday. You'll get the Storm and the Steelers game on webcast. Of course, Guildford, just keep an eye online. Any other business? I'm going to start with the man we've just mentioned. A big congratulations to Television's Neil Coach Russell on his engagement to Christy. A bit of a surprise there, Davey, but good news.
Oh, absolutely fantastic news. When I broke at the weekend, massively punching. So, fair play.
100%, man.
Absolutely, 100% correct.
If only Dobbs could be as, unanimous about it. Dobbs have actually said that Neil Russell is punching. So, congratulations, coach. Big lad is a really, really good friend, has been for many, many years, and I wish him every success.
Says?
Yeah, absolutely. I echo exactly what David and yourself have said. Fantastic. And hopefully his new lady can calm him down a bit and, stop him drinking all that dad coke. Fantastic. But I just reiterate, he's absolutely punching away above his weight.
I'd love to know how much she knew about domestic UK ice hockey before she met Neil the Coach Russell, and how much she's had to put up with it since. Let us know, Coach. Let us know. Any other business, gents?
Just the AFD. Oh, sorry, go ahead. Says that's what I was going to do, but you.
No, yeah, well, you work away, mate.
No, because you donated a wee bit, so you're
absolutely.
Yeah, I'm back up to hospital again today. Another pint in the spreadsheet for us. And again, it's like the way I look at it is it's half an hour of my time and potentially helping three people down the line, and well, not so much down the line, very, very soon. It is recycled very, very quickly. So hopefully it's going to help somebody. And, you know, we understand it's not suitable for everybody. And, if you feel that you might be able to give blood, but you're not 100% sure, just go along and ask. You know, they'll do a wee test and make you feel a wee prick, and then get a wee bit of blood out of you, first of all, to try it out. And once you do that, they can let you know within minutes if you're eligible or not. So please, please, please help out if you possibly can. We're not asking you for money. We're not asking you for a lot of stuff, but just your blood. You've plenty of it, and you can spare a pint if you possibly can. Then go along to the Northern Ireland Blood Transfusion Service there at the City Hospital, or if you're elsewhere in the UK. I know, Paddy, you've done in Manchester, and Davey's done down in Bristol. So thanks to everybody who's given blood so far, and hopefully we can push on. We've only, probably in our, 5-6 weeks left of the campaign, and would really, really like to try and hit that 100 pints.
We've had quite a few people, not just from Northern Ireland, but people from Cardiff, people from Nottingham, people from Manchester, people from, Davy and Bristol. We've had, the spreadsheet is full of people from right across the UK who have been kind enough to donate their blood in the name of our campaign and Bleed Teal 100. We've got a few things up our sleeves with regards to how we're going to close out this campaign. But yes, as Sis says, it's 30 minutes of your time. We're not asking for money, we're just asking for your time, and we're asking for your blood. We're asking you to help others at this time of year. Any time of year is just, it's a very important thing to do. And what's been very humbling as well is the number of people who on the back of the Bleed Teal 100, the number of people who've done it for the first time, and people who have realized that it's not that big a deal regards to going along and them taking blood. It's not frightening, it's not difficult, it's not painful. It's just 30 minutes of your time, and it can be so, so worthwhile. So thank you to everybody who has donated thus far, and hopefully we can get just that little bit closer to our target in the final number of weeks of this season. Davey?
Yeah, just to add that the one of the guys, big following, badly drawn, EIHL, has sent me, I've got them in front of me here, a complete Belfast Giants roster and sort of A5 size individual pictures of each and every player on the Giants team, with one very special former Belfast Giant legend who it's quite a picture, let me tell you. We're going to get them signed, we are going to do prints of them, we're going to get them auctioned off, for the originals framed and auctioned on the last night of the season, that game that we're going to be that the Bleed Teal, where you can collect your pint, we're going to have them available. So we appreciate him doing them for absolutely nothing for us, just for the charity. So we want your money. It's actually a little unknown fact, but a Belfast Giants fan actually holds a record for the most amount of pints of blood received in a single transfusion. So a little bit of statistical background for you there. And it's something that's always been quite close to my heart, getting blood, because a very good friend needed a lot one time. So, if you can give, give. And if you can't, support someone, harass someone into giving in your name, and get a pint at the end of the season. And thanks again to our good friends at Phonocab for putting their hand in their pocket and supporting us.
Here, here. Anything else, boys?
I should maybe tell William McCausland that he's doing this, right?
Yeah, that's a good idea. Probably a good idea.
Nah, I'm only joking. No, he knows well. He's well aware. I didn't even have to think about it.
Good man. Are we done? Is that us?
I'm done.
I think so.
Okay, well, on that note, as I said, three games this week. Wednesday night, 7:30 away at the Spectrum against the Guildford Flames. 7 p.m. at the what they call the Storm Shelter, what I call the Drizzle Dome. 7 p.m. on Saturday against the Manchester Storm. And on Sunday, 4 p.m. at the Sheffield Arena against the Sheffield Steelers. The Manchester and the Sheffield game available on webcast, Storm TV and Steelers TV. You can get us at AVFTV on Twitter, podcast at kingdomofthegiants.com. Kingdomofthegiants.com is the website, of course, on soundcloud.com/AVFTB for all of our audio content, post-games and all of that stuff. The likes with regards to the podcast, of course, get us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify and the Cool App. Mr. Kitchen and Mr. McGimsey, thank you for your time.
Pleasure as always, Patrick. Cheers, says.
Thanks again to Adam Keith, Lewis Hook, Mark Garside, Kieran Long, Elgin Pierce, and to Michael Douglas for his opinions on the game against the Nottingham Panthers. We'll catch you here next time. Wherever you are this weekend, we hope you enjoy your hockey. We'll be here next time on A View from the Bridge. Still you rise. Still